This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hello and welcome to Well, 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 Jill and Jason with you tonight from the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. Jason, how are you as you frantically swallow the last of your little burger there?
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about, Jill. Burger? I eat healthily. No crap goes into this body.
It's a temple.
Mm-hmm. I'm well. It feels like a while since I've been on air, but it's good to be back.
Good.
Would be better if it was my musical selections, but, you know, I'll put up with it.
What's wrong with Pet Shop Boys? You told me a few weeks ago.
It was a bit of a mellow track.
You said I should play more gay man's music. And I thought, well, Pet Shop
this
Boys.
This is true. All right, we're making an improvement.
Yeah, well, we'll see as the show continues.
But what are we going to be talking about this evening?
This evening, Jason, we will be having a chat with Gordon from Vintage Men to learn more about the organisation and what exactly they do. And we will have a few snippets of news, plus we will be chatting about other events happening around town. Obviously, with Midsummer kicking off this weekend with Carnival on Sunday, there's quite a lot to cover.
Mm. I'm surprised we haven't pulled our hair out yet.
I know. Well, I'm on the verge. But hey. It is news time, so let's shuffle and
just
changing,
getting you back on topic, Jill.
Changing gears. Well, first up, we have a news story that came out of the US. In the online edition of Clinical Infection Diseases, US investigators...
I believe it's infectious diseases.
Infectious diseases. US investigators have reported that asymptomatic cardiac abnormalities are common among HIV-positive patients. Now, these abnormalities showed as being a lot higher than expected when patients were monitored using... Now, you're going to have to help me out here, Jason. I believe it's...
Echocardiographs?
And that's exactly what I was going to say.
ECGs.
However, the investigators did find that the risk factors that were associated with the cardiac abnormalities were potentially able to be modified. Although, as most of us, you know, people living with HIV and who are on antiretroviral therapy can expect to live well into older age these days, there is still some growing concern that some individuals have an increased risk of cardiovascular disease and that this increased risk includes many factors, but most of which are, well, aside from having HIV itself, therapy with some antiretroviral drugs, along with the traditional factors of age, smoking and diet.
So,
there's a few lifestyle issues.
I think there's the lifestyle issues that are common to anyone, regardless of whether they're HIV positive or not, and those being kind of smoking and diet and exercise.
Yeah.
Easily modifiable, well, some easier than others. But I think the big thing that a lot of people who are HIV positive and on treatment would know is that... some of the treatment options available do actually put people at a higher risk of having higher cholesterol, so the bad ones. So if it affects their triglyceride levels, putting them even at more risk of developing cardiovascular disease. So it's a compounding of risk factors.
Absolutely. And this particular study looked at, or this investigation, as they're referring to it as, looked specifically at asymptomatic structural and functional cardiac dysfunction. And the findings were actually quite surprising. The study, they looked at 656 patients, and these were monitored between 2004 and 2006, so over 2 years. And only one third of them had normal cardiac function and structure. 57% had pulmonary hypertension and 40% had left arterial enlargement. And to put that in perspective, in a recent study it was found that only 5% of HIV negative people had left arterial enlargement. So a fairly significant 35% increase there of what's deemed to sort of be normal.
Very interesting indeed. I think it particularly given the fact that these were all... patients who did not have any symptoms of cardiovascular disease, and yet there were still little things happening under the radar that still put them at risk.
Yeah, absolutely, Jason. And the investigators concluded, and I quote for this, "Our results support lifestyle modifications such as smoking cessation and weight loss as continued priorities in the chronic management of HIV infection." And obviously, I mean, it's a bit of a big thing at the moment of looking at long-term effects of HIV and antiretrovirals and that sort of thing on the body. And so I suppose this just goes into that body of evidence that's continuing to grow.
Indeed.
Anyway, so we'll see where that leads.
Hopefully some good news on that front.
Yeah, hopefully there will be. Hopefully there will be. Now, in another story, I thought this was very interesting. It's a fairly simplistic little number, but one that's interesting nonetheless.
Do share.
This came out of India. It's taken out of the Times of India. And it's basically they're pushing for a group of the Kerala Women's Commission is pushing for husbands, prospective husbands, to get tested for HIV to ensure that women don't then get HIV infected with HIV themselves, which is kind of interesting. I think I'm sort of oversimplifying it, but it is a very short article about this. And they say that it's actually an effective preventative measure in terms of women getting exposed to HIV. But I can't help think that there's maybe not some ethical issues around this. Jason, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's a challenge. I think the one thing that you need to take into account in this case as well is the cultural context in which this is occurring.
Yeah.
Where I'd imagine that in India there's quite a few arranged marriages occurring, and which essentially would potentially put a potential wife at risk of HIV without really having much choice.
Mm.
So kind of making sure that all partners are aware of status going into the relationship,
yeah,
is quite important. I think one thing that's interesting to point out is the fact that, you know, in this culture, in this context, women are earning next to nothing compared to their husbands, and the effect that would have on their ongoing livelihood as well.
And, well, it does actually say in this article further on that women who get infected obviously have an ordeal to go through, and at least 70% of them are sacked by their employers. Now, it would be interesting to know what if there's a similar statistic for men if they disclose their HIV status, if they...
Well, that's if they're aware of their status.
Well, yeah, but if they are, and if they do disclose that to an employer, would it, you know, would they be guaranteed employment? I'm sort of questioning, maybe not.
The story kind of leads you to think that they might not even be guaranteed marriage.
Well, that's very true. They may not. Yeah, exactly. There's no guarantees either. Anyway, so that was I just thought that was an interesting little story that came from the far-flung streets of India. Joining us in the studio this evening is Gordon from Vintage Men. Gordon, welcome to Well, Well, Well.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Yes, I often listen to your program, parts of it anyhow, by the time when I get home.
On the way home,
yeah.
Well, Gordon, we've asked you to come in for a bit of a chat about Vintage Men, exactly who they are, what they do, how you formed. So to kick things off, what exactly is or are Vintage Men?
Well, they're a group. It was a group for older gay and lesbian, gay and bisexual men and their admirers. We have no age thing for it, so that if you've got a younger boyfriend, he can come along and be quite welcome. So we don't have any age barrier at all to who comes to Vintage Men. Our oldest member, I think, is 90 something, I think.
And what's your youngest, can I ask?
Youngest would be about 40.
Not that vintage at all.
Hmm?
Not that vintage, 40.
40 is not vintage, no. That's what I'm saying. See, my boyfriend's 45, I think.
Mm.
Yeah. So, but most of the guys are 70, 60, 70, 80. Yeah. Mm.
Quite a range.
Yep. And all different types of people too.
And what was the reason for the group beginning in the first instance?
In 1992, there was a man called David Sampson working for the Victorian AIDS Council. And the Victorian AIDS Council wanted to get out to the older gay men in the community a bit more information about HIV and AIDS. So David Sampson was paid to, or he used the grant to sort of get Vintage Men started. And then that grant was sort of lost because the AIDS Council went through a process back in those days, and there was a bit of funding withdrawal and all that sort of thing. So they had to step back from funding the Vintage Men program. And there was another chap that was with the Vintage Men at the very beginning, was Richard James. And Richard worked for the City of Port Phillip, and he went to them, and the City of Port Phillip are now our major sponsors with grants every year.
Oh,
and,
fantastic.
Yeah, and we have a meeting place at the Betty Day Centre, and we also get a grant from them for doing outwork, sort of looking after the older sick people and doing all that sort of thing, yeah.
So how long have you been involved with the group, and what is your involvement with that?
I am the treasurer, the caterer, and the functions organiser.
Right.
So many hats.
Yeah.
I've had to get everything ready for Midsummer, for the carnival, and everything ready for the Christmas dinner, and then Pride March and those sort of things. And then every week I have to shop around, get the supper for the meeting. Yeah. So that's, and be the treasurer and present the books and go to the auditors and do all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Crikey. So it's a no small feat.
No.
So how many people do you think Vintage Men consists of?
We have, at the end of 2010, we had 72 members.
Wow.
And of that 72, you'd probably say there was a hard core of people, about 35, that will go to, because we'd meet, this year it's going to be meeting every Monday evening, and then every week on the Thursday they have a luncheon, because there are a lot of the older guys don't like to go out at night time.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the Thursday lunches so they can all meet and have a lunch and have a bit of a chat. And we go north side and south side and out to the east and suburbs, you know, and so that everybody doesn't have to travel every time to the south side. So southerners go to the north side, and we keep floating around.
And do you know, I'm sure you do, but if there's any of those original that were joined in 92 when Vintage Men started, are they still
now?
They're not.
David is retired and living in Tasmania.
Oh, good on him.
Richard James has retired. He lives at home now. Richard's not very well, but we still hear from him from time to time, yeah. But they're the only two that I know that were in it at the very beginning.
From the start, yeah. Right.
Now, how would you say that Vintage Men differs from any other community group for men?
Well, I guess you'd say the age is the first thing, isn't it? I mean, to say none of us are young, except a couple of the boyfriends and sort of things, you know, but most of us are in the older age group, and we have actually been there and done that, you know. A lot of them...
Look at you making a plug to your show.
No, it's not that. When you look at the context of what the members of Vintage Men have lived through, it's a huge change from what it was like when we were growing up to what it is now, with the freedom that is now available to gay people. You've got to remember, in the old days, being gay was against the law, and you could be jailed for being homosexual and all the rest of it. So it's a huge change, and a lot of the guys are very wary about where they are seen. They will come to Vintage Men meetings, that's fine, because they're indoors, but a lot of them won't go to Pride March. A lot of them won't go to the carnival. It's just that ingrained thing that they grew up with.
Mm.
But I couldn't care less. I'm out there.
Good on you, Corn. Now, is it fair to say that most of your members identify with the bear community, or is that
that's huge totally
myth.
Wrong? Totally wrong.
Okay.
There's a few of us have beards, but we don't identify with the bear community. No, not that I know of. There are, I think there's three of us work for the VAC as volunteers, as drivers, and that sort of thing. So yeah, so we do get amongst the other things that have to be done in the community as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know where...
I feel like that was just a curiosity question.
It totally was.
Yep. No, well, I've never been a bear.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll move on swiftly.
Okay.
What sort of things do members of Vintage Men do for fun? I mean, is it more of a social group or is it a peer-based group that people involved in sort of utilise for support, or is it a combination of the two along with...
Well, it's a bit of everything, bit of everything. We're basically a social group for people to get together and have a chat. We have a whole complete program worked out for the full year, basically, what we're doing.
Organised.
There's one, the first Monday's a board meeting, the second Monday's a speaker will come in, like last Monday we had the Crusader Hillis from, also came and spoke. Tex McKenzie often comes and comes about once a year, once about 18 months, comes and has a chat and talks about what the latest thing in the HIV prevention and what's happening with HIV, because that's another one of the things that we still keep up, to still keep the men involved in what's happening in the HIV field.
Mm.
And then one night's a movie night, we have a movie, and then we have a music night where you bring a CD and sit down and play music, and then halfway through that they come out and I eat the supper that I've made for them, and it's basically social.
Yeah.
But we do outreach work too with some of the people that are sick. We've got one of the chaps goes around and makes sure that everybody that's on the sick list gets a visit and sees how they're going and that sort of thing. So, yeah.
Well, it's interesting that you say that you're talking about the sort of men that and the obviously the time period when homosexuality was illegal.
Mm.
But also I would imagine that some of the people that obviously joined in 1992, they've lived through some pretty severe, you know, days before antiretrovirals.
And
so I can imagine there's a degree of, solid kind of companionship that's... Mm.
Because I wasn't there at the very beginning.
Right, okay.
I don't know exactly what happened. I don't know whether there were any HIV people in the first group, but I don't think so.
Mm.
We've had people with HIV from time to time, and there's a couple that are still members. That's fine. We don't care. The main thing was to sort of educate the older men about what was going on, because you've got to realise that in gay society it's all for the young people and the older people get a bit pushed away. But we're just starting to find our voice now in the older community and finding out that we need to be looked after in our old age, basically.
Well, there's a lot of research as well that's being done on homosexuality, and particularly in aged care settings.
That's right. Yeah, we've been part of that.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Matrix, the women's group, and Vintage Men, we were in the thing that they did, and it was quite an interesting exercise, yeah.
Oh, and some of the findings are devastating about what's currently happening.
Yeah,
so.
It was actually, we had Catherine to talk about the study, and...
Yep,
as you said, a lot of what we see in our community press is really kind of focused on the young,
gorgeous, buffed, beautiful looking guys.
Exactly, yeah. And just to hear the stories and the issues that are faced by the older generation. Yeah.
Mm.
It's good to, as you said, it's time that you get a voice.
Well, a lot of people are on pensions. Of course, a lot of our members are on pensions, so that's fine, and understandable. They don't go to a lot of the things that we put on. About once a month they have an excursion somewhere, like anybody that wants to go. Like we did they're going to the Rose Garden, the Victorian Rose Garden, I think this following weekend or something. They'll go out there and have a wander around the Rose Gardens, and then they went to the Titanic exhibition, and we do all the sorts of things like that, keeping social, keeping people active, keep getting them out there, you know.
Which is essential for anyone.
Yeah, yeah. We don't like people to be sort of sitting at home twiddling their thumbs, you know, absolutely, wondering what they can do.
Gordon, you mentioned earlier that Tex sometimes comes in once a year or once every 18 months or so to talk about what's happening in the world of sort of HIV and other STIs. Can I ask if sort of safe sex is talked about outside of those occasions? And if so, how do you incorporate the message of sex?
Well, it may be talked amongst themselves. But apart from when sort of Tex comes there or somebody else comes there, we might get somebody that will come in and they will be talking about safe sex at the time. That's probably the only time it will actually get mentioned out in the open.
Right, okay.
But I think all the old boys are well aware of safe sex.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're...
You can't approach another converted.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're quite well aware of it. And a lot of them are quite happy that they're as old as they are because they haven't been exposed, I suppose, to the temptation or whatever you want to talk about, you know. Because, but I think they all are well aware of what safe sex requires, you know.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah, it is good, just to clarify. You're absolutely right. Now, do you focus just on people in Melbourne or do you work with regional and rural Victoria as well?
Yeah, we're in contact with the Country Awareness Network.
Yep.
I have been interviewed on the Rainbow Radio Report coming out of Ballarat or Bendigo, Bendigo I think it is. I did an interview with them on the radio one Friday evening. So we do know that they're there, and they know what we're doing as well. We get that we swap newsletters, and so we know what's going on. But we don't normally get anybody going up to their meetings, or they come down to ours. I think it's probably because we don't meet on the same time slot or something or other. I don't know, but we're well aware. We are well aware of the existence of those two groups. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. So everyone's in the loop.
Oh yeah, we're all in the loop. Yeah. We get their newsletters, as I say.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you've been quite busy as the caterer, getting things ready for Midsummer.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of presents will you be having over the weekend and in the weeks to come? And what will you be up to?
Me? Well, I'll be flat out on Sunday. I am here on Joy from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock on Sunday morning as well.
Goodness.
So Saturday I will be loading up my car with all the stuff we will be taking to the, because we'll be selling books. I've got a whole collection of books, collection of some very interesting old videotapes. A lot of people still have video recorders, and they've got some quite good old fashioned movies and things like that. They were all left to us by one of our members who died, and my study at home is full of CDs, DVDs, videos, and or books and all sorts of stuff, which we have been selling amongst the men, and they've been buying them. They're only a couple of dollars for a video or a book or something like that, you know.
And every little helps.
And I've got there's also some interesting old vinyl records.
Oh, two fantastic
12-inch vinyls, which are quite interesting. I've got several boxes of those, but they're too bloody heavy, so I'll only be taking one.
They weigh a ton.
They do weigh a ton. And I've also got somebody, I don't know where we got it from, but somebody donated it to us. It's a complete album book of old 78 recordings.
Oh, wow.
In this big album that they come in.
Fantastic.
I don't know. I almost think I should take it to some collection agency. You'd probably get a lot of money for it, but yeah, every disc is still there. It's all there's not a scratch on them.
Oh, I tell you, if Tex wasn't working for the Gay Periodic Survey, he would be at your stall.
I'm sure he still will make a brief appearance.
Well, he may be even listening.
Well, he's actually doing training this evening.
Oh, is he doing? Oh,
right. Surveyors.
Yeah.
So,
but
if he gets a whiff that's what
I'm
going
trying
on
to get. I'm trying to get some of them down there. Some of these records down there, and I've got there's 12-inch ones and there's 10-inch ones.
Fantastic.
I think Jill will be there as well.
I know. I think I might actually mosey along and have a little bit of a look through.
This is just the beginning of the busy summer season of events.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Have you made any plans for chill out? And
I can't go to chill out. I would love to go to chill out, but as I told you just a minute ago, I'm here on Sunday morning from 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock. So it's hardly worthwhile driving up there on a Saturday and coming back on a Saturday. Mm. Plus the fact that I am also a bit of an artist, and I do watercolour painting on Saturday mornings, most Saturday mornings. So I'd have to stop doing that to go up there, and it's just not
you
worth it.
You have to come to a point where you go, actually, I've got a life outside of Joy and Vintage Men as well.
Yes, there's
something
like that.
You have to
like
have
that.
Quiet time.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So if somebody's heard you having a chat with us this evening and they're thinking, you know, I'd like to get involved with Vintage Men, or I'd like to know more about them and what they do, what would you suggest to them?
The easiest way is to go on the web, www.vintagemen.org, and you can read all about us. You can read our the January newsletter is there. Just click on the thing and the January newsletter will come up. You'll see lots of photos of the men enjoying themselves. You'll see our president there in drag, actually.
Oh, fantastic.
Our president used to be one of the lay girls with Sammy Lee up in Sydney.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
So you have been around for a while.
Yeah, but he's got some interesting stories too when he talks about...
When he
was a showgirl with the lay girls, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, but there's a lot of photos there. That's quite an interesting. And... That's the easiest way. There's phone numbers on that thing for people to contact us and
what have you.
So just vintagemen.org. Our web email address is vintagemen@yahoo.com.
All right, fantastic.
Yeah. We'll be sure to repeat that at the end of the show as well.
We will indeed. Mm, mm. Well, listen, Gord, thank you so much coming on this evening. And,
that's all right. I was here anyhow, so I might as well stay.
You're meant to say I've gone to such great lengths to come.
Oh, yes, I swam through the torrent, so exactly. I paddled down the Yarra because that's almost in full flood as well. So I did such a terrible job to get here, yes. It was
exactly.
Hard.
It was very difficult. You made it at all.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very, very much, Gordon, and long may the good work of Vintage Men continue.
I think we'll be around for a while, or I hope we will be anyhow.
Yeah. This is the moment where we suggest that you get pens, papers and everything else. Sorry, there's a word that says pens on the website. Ready at your hand.
At the ready.
At the ready. Thanks, Jason.
First on the list.
Yeah, thanks. Firstly is obviously Carnival, Midsummer Carnival. This Sunday, the 16th of January, if you are alive, basically, you have to know about Carnival. It's at Birrong Ma from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. But the fun doesn't stop there because tea dance is kicking off afterwards. Now, we will have a stall there.
We will indeed.
We're very excited about the monster-sized stall. We do take over a significant portion. The Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre will have a stall there. So come along and say hi. And obviously, Joy will be broadcasting all day. So listen in live if you're not able, for whatever reason, to get to Carnival itself.
And once again, when you come by the VAC stall, make sure to pick up one of our very, very coveted show bags every year.
Coveted. Mm. Nice, Jason. Look at that. It is. It's full of treats. And are we going to reveal what the treats are?
We will reveal that the first batch of people through to the stall will get a t-shirt as well.
Mm-mm-mm.
So, a limited edition Queer as Fuck t-shirt. So
For free. So, yeah, come on down, say hello. The other thing, you want to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to point out some of the things that are happening at the Joy 94.9 stall.
Pray tell.
Well, there's many, many things that you can do at the Joy stall. For one, you can... be one of the first 50 new members to sign up to become a Joy 94.9 member, and you'll get a $50 voucher for the circuit bar. Or if you simply renew your membership, a free CD awaits, which is a good opportunity to either become one or renew and get something out of it.
For free. It's just for free.
But of course, if you're going to be a new member, it's only the first 50 that get that $50 voucher to the circuit bar. So get in quick. Secondly, there's an opportunity to enter a raffle and win a trip for two to Sydney, including flights and accommodation, access to an exclusive viewing platform, and ticket to the infamous Mardi Gras dance party, all valued at over $2,000.
It's not to be sneezed at.
But I think the thing that gets me... The happiest is the opportunity to recharge my iPhone for $2 at the stall.
Well, you know, if you're grinding on Grindr
all
Jason,
day long,
all day, hey. And your battery starts running a little bit low, I think you'd be a little bit upset. I think most people in that situation would be a little bit upset. But you can avoid that upset.
Just for $2.
Just for $2.
You can also get an instant photo taken as either Tom of Finland or Jessica Rabbit for $5. You can fill in a survey or get a celebrity autograph and donate to Positive Women. And of course, we'll be broadcasting live from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m.
It really is one of the funnest days on the calendar, isn't it?
Indeed it is.
The funnest.
And the weather's going to be wonderful.
I know.
After the week of disgusting
17
weather.
17 days of what it feels like of disgusting weather. And then apparently all of next week is absolutely rubbish as well. So really this is your only opportunity to get out in the sunshine, I reckon. Now, speaking of surveys, there's also a very important survey that happens on during Carnival, which Tex is coordinating. He's the state coordinator for the Gay Periodic Survey. So he will, and a bunch of other people will be racing around trying to ask men questions about, well, a whole host of things, really, mainly pertaining to their sexual practices and alike. So if you see somebody coming around and shoving a clipboard in front of you and saying, can you please fill this in, make sure you do.
You enter a raffle to win prizes. You get a little sticker that you can wear, and then that means they don't harass you anymore
for
the rest of the day.
They'll leave you alone.
But, of course, it's really important, particularly for us,
that absolutely.
That annual survey gives us a great opportunity to look at the programming that we have in place and see whether it's in line with the current data.
Yeah.
And to identify trends and behaviour and kind of all that stuff.
Because it's done in conjunction with the National Centre
for HIV Clinical and Epidemiological Research, and the National Centre in Social HIV Research, as well as ARCHES as well.
It has a very significant impact on excuse me, the work that we do, and it gives us a further understanding.
And it'll make Tex happy if you fill out
this. And it will make Tex so enormously happy. So, yeah, lots happening at Carnival. Now, coming up also, just where does the time go?
It's just the beginning of the Midsummer festivities, really.
It's just insane.
Really?
Really? Is the 16th, Sweet 16, Annual Pride March. That is happening on Sunday, the 6th of February in Fitzroy Street in St Kilda. On Fitzroy Street in St Kilda, I'm going to say. You can assemble from 12 noon for a 2 p.m. start to the march. And you can join us at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. Health Centre. you can join us afterwards. You can march with us. And you stop laughing. And you can join in afterwards in the Katani Gardens for live entertainment or a picnic as well. Or you can also march with Joy. You can also march with a myriad of, if there's an organisation that you feel a close affiliation with, I'm sure they'd be
Or you
more
can watch and
happy.
Then march down to Katani Gardens you for can... a bit of fun with your friends.
Exactly. There's another idea. Full of them, aren't you, Jason?
I am. That another...
Would you like to share something?
Sure. Well, you just kind of skipped over one of my favourite events of the midsummer and the midsummer season.
Go
midsummer
on.
Festival,
share.
And that's Midsummer Mooning, which will be happening on Saturday the 29th of... 29th of January at the Laird Hotel in Abbotsford from 9 p.m. This is a fundraiser, fundraising event for the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, and really quite an out there event as well.
It is.
Lots of fun. If you haven't been before, I definitely recommend going, bring a couple of friends, and it's you'll definitely have some stories to take home to mum.
it's like that in your family, is it, Jason?
Woo! Tickets are $11. For details or to enter as a competitor, visit thelairdhotel.com or midsummer.org.au.
And I have to add, it's quite a tech-savvy show because he's actually the compere for the
He is the MC indeed.
The MC. So, yeah.
See, I'm a bit worried about going this time because he said he's going to try and coerce me into becoming a competitor.
Oh, I think that's got to be on your own terms.
Yeah.
At a time that you're happy to come to that conclusion.
Yep.
Anyway.
Indeed.
Well, Jason, it's just about that time, I'm afraid.
It is, Jill.
It is. Have you got any hellos?
No, but I'm sure you do.
I do. Harry.
Hi, Harry.
Hi, Harry. And coming up next is theme party. I'm not too sure what the theme is, but I dare say.
It's fun and frivolity,
it'll be
I'm sure.
Fun. It might be Carnivale. Although,
oh, they did that, didn't they? Do that?
What is that?
Anyway.
Don't know.
Tune in. It's going to be a blast.
It'll be amazing. And
but
that
of course,
will be
sorry.
Followed by Hide and Seek. At 10 p.m. with Dean and Travis, so stick around for that. But seeing us out now
is some more of Jill's fantastic music.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
It is The Summer by Josh Pike. And that's about it.
We'll be back next week.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.